Isaiah chapter 56, we'll read the first five verses, Isaiah 56, and beginning in verse number 1. I do want to remind you as we move into the winter months to make sure that you always check to see if there's a storm, if services are canceled. We're going to try our best not to cancel them and live stream it for those who can't make it, but if we decide that we are going to cancel, we're not capable of just calling everyone. We used to be able to do that, but it's too hard now. And so we're going to post it on our website. We're going to post it on Facebook. We're going to post it on the church app. We're going to post it on Connect. I'll get your Baptist. And if you are in our system, and I hope you are, if you're not in our system, you can give your name and your mobile phone number to Brother Marr, and he'll make sure you're in our system. But we're going to just send it a mass text message. And you'll get a text message saying services are canceled this morning or tonight. And so that helps us. And so if you're not in there, you need to be in there. It'll help you. Or before you head out, you could just check to make sure on our website or social media, we'll post it there. All right, Isaiah 56, verse number 1. Look at what the Bible says here. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, keep ye judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keepeth his hand from doing any evil. Neither let the man of the stranger have joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, The Lord hath utterly separated me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, Behold, I am a dry tree. For thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs, and keep my Sabbaths, choose the things that please me, take hold of my covenant. Even unto them will I give in mine house and within my walls a place and a name better than the sons of sons and of daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off." Let's pray together this morning. Lord, thank you so much for your word. We're grateful for the opportunity that we can learn from it. And I pray, Lord, this morning that you would speak to our hearts. Help us, I pray, to make good decisions from these principles that are found in the book of Isaiah. And so I pray that you'd be glorified in all these things. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, God is, in the book of Isaiah, if you're familiar with the book of Isaiah, God is promoting a message of trust. He's promoting a message of faith. He wants his people to look to him. In some pretty difficult circumstances, he wants his people to look to him. Now, we see this, of course, in the life of Ahaz. We see it in the life of King Hezekiah. The message that God has for each of these kings is to not trust the Egyptians, to not look to Assyria, but to trust in him. He would deliver them. He would help them. He would work in their life. And so the message that we have from the book of Isaiah is don't trust the world, don't trust the opinions or the ideologies, trust in God, trust in the Lord. Now, sometimes God allows in our life some pretty hard circumstances. If you're a Christian today, all of the events of your life are Father-filtered. God is in control. And so sometimes God allows some hard places, some hard circumstances in our life, and he wants us to truly learn from these lessons. God wants our full attention, and sometimes it's through troubles and trials that God gets our full attention, and we look to him. Now, in Isaiah 56, it's a passage of principle. These are principles that God is giving from Isaiah to the people, and he wants them to look to him, and so he's giving them principles on how they can live their life, that is lived in a way that pleases God. Now, we notice their promised eternal life. Eternal life is a wonderful blessing, knowing that you're a child of God, that heaven is your eternal home. I hope that you know that. I hope you're confident in that this morning. I hope that you can say beyond a shadow of a doubt, if I were to leave this world, I would be in the presence of God. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I hope you know that. I hope that you have that confidence in your life. But as Christians, our Christian life is a principled life. They're not, you know, there's some sharp turns that we have to take in our life. There's bumpy roads. There's choices that we have to make. And sometimes in life, the Bible is not specific in those decisions. It doesn't say, if you're facing this particular trouble, then this is what you have to do. And so how do you maneuver through these choices? How do you know which way to turn? How do you know what decision to make? Well, the Bible doesn't give us answers to every issue of our life, but he does give us principles to help us to make good decisions. And so these principles direct us and they help us. And so this is our message this morning. I want us to note Isaiah 56, and I want us to notice these principles that we need for our lives to help us to maneuver the difficulties of our life. Simple principles. Number one, the principle of drawing near. The principle of drawing near. Now, there are three scriptures I want us to note, if we could. First of all, can we go to Psalm 73 and verse number 28? Psalm 73 and verse number 28. Notice what the Bible says here. Psalm 73, the 73rd Psalm, and verse number 28. The Bible says this, verse 28, "But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works." Now notice here the psalmist relates the idea of trusting God and having faith in God, looking to God, as the aspect of drawing near to him in our life, drawing near to him. Now I want us to think about what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 22. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 22 tells us to draw near to God with a true heart. Look what the Bible says in Hebrews 10 verse 22. It says to draw near to God with a true heart and with full assurance of faith. What is it saying? It's saying when we draw nigh to God, then we are to have confidence in him, but we are to be genuine. We are to approach God with full assurance, knowing that it's God that can make the difference. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And so we approach God, we draw nigh to God, believing that God can make a difference in our life. And then let's notice James chapter 4 and verse number 8. James chapter 4. And verse number 8, in James chapter 4, in verse number 8, the Bible says to draw nigh to God. And look at this, and God will draw nigh to you. Now, oftentimes in our life, we're waiting for God to do the drawing. We're waiting for God to come to us. But the Bible teaches us that we have to take that step of faith. We have to take that step of intention. I draw nigh to God, and God will then draw nigh to us. To trust him in difficult times, to trust God in difficult times with full assurance that God will help us and that God will guide us in our life. Now, we notice that this is indeed a response by faith. This is a response by faith. Now, this prophetic word is directed to God's discouraged people, Judah, who had slacked in their obedience, who had slacked in walking with God. And in this passage of Scripture, God is saying, you need to act. You need to step out by faith. You need to trust in me. You need to draw nigh to me. And in the storms of life, God wants us to step out of the boat and to trust him by faith. You know, I think as soon as I said that, your mind goes to Peter, right? Peter was the guy that stepped out of the boat. He walked on water. And I think for me, if I'm going to walk on water, I don't think I'm going to do it during a storm. But Peter, I mean, in the most difficult circumstance, not just walking on water, but he's doing it when the winds are blowing hard and the waves are large and there's a storm that's happening, and yet God bids him to walk on the water, and so he begins to take that step of faith. And you say, yeah, but Peter, he sank. Have you ever walked on water? I mean, this is a big deal. Peter is stepping out. He's taking action. He's taking that step to draw nigh to God, and God reaches out his hand to help him. And I'm saying that we need to take that step of faith. The Bible says this in Matthew 14, verse 29. It says, and he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Peter took the first step. He initiated, Lord, I want to come to you. In the storm, in the wind, in the waves, Peter took that first step. And Judah, in our context here, Judah was in a very bad place. I mean, Judah was in a tough place. They were a discouraged people. They were in exile. They were slaves and separated from their homeland. Things didn't look good for them. I mean, they were discouraged. And yet, what does God say? Notice what the Bible says in verse number 1. It says, keep ye judgment and do justice. What is he saying? He's saying, act here. He's saying, live for God. Do what is right. Do what is right. Even in hard times, even in difficult times, do what is right. Oftentimes, with me, and I'm sure with you, you can relate, that we often say, Lord, I'll act when things get better. Lord, I'll do this when things get better. I'll do the drawing near when my life kind of cleans up a little bit. And yet the Bible says, no, where you are today, where you are to act. You are to draw nigh to God, and God will draw nigh to you. You start acting, you start living, you start moving closer to God, and God will move closer to you. Now, we notice also in our text here in verse number 2 that God blesses our obedience. God blesses our obedience. There's a response of faith, but then God blesses that obedience. Verse 2 of our text, it says in verse 56 of Isaiah, blessed is the man that doeth this. Now the word blessed there means happy, draw nigh to God, and he will honor you in that drawing nigh to him. God blesses the one that doeth it. This is what the Bible says. God blesses the one that doeth it. God blesses obedience. James chapter 4, can we turn there in verse 17? Look what the scriptures say here. James, the fourth chapter, James chapter 4. And notice what the Bible says, verse number 17, James 4, verse 17. It says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You know, we really only have two responses to God in his word. The first response is that we will do it. The second response is that we will do it not. And it really comes down to our response by faith. Are we going to act? Are we going to trust God? Are we going to do what is good? Or are we going to turn away? Are we not going to do what God has for us? You know, many who disobey have their reasons. And I think that we could make a long list of why there are times in our life we did not obey God, we did not trust God, we did not have faith in God. And I think it's comparable to what the Bible speaks of as a lazy man who doesn't do anything because he always finds an excuse. He always finds a reason why that he is not going to do it. In Proverbs 22:13, it says, "The slothful man saith, there is a lion without, I shall be slain in the streets." Now, I think a lion in the streets is a good excuse, by the way. I think if there's a lion in the street, you should be careful. I would assume, never met one, I would assume they are to be taken seriously. But the passage of Scripture here, at the heart of it, is not the fact that there's a lion in the street. It's the fact of a slothful man who continually makes excuses not to do anything, and it continually builds up, and it continually moves forward, and at the end of the day, he never does anything because there's always an excuse of why he doesn't do it. And the Bible says in this passage of Scripture that we are to take the first step to the Lord. We are to take that first step, to push aside the excuses and to draw near to him in faith, believing that God can. You may say, "Well, Pastor Burns, I'll do it when things get better. I'll do it when there's not a storm. I'll do it when my circumstances look better." And yet the principle of the Bible is, no, you should do it now. You should step out of the boat now. You should step trusting the Lord today, trusting God today. And, you know, as we think about trusting God today, God says he'll bless that obedience. He will bless that decision to trust in him. Number two, second principle. We see it in our text. It's the principle of following the truth. It's the principle of following the truth. You know, it's interesting how our world will quickly put people into categories. Whether it's a category of rich and poor, whether it's the category of a social status, whether it's the category of maybe someone's influence, but our world quickly puts people into various categories. And yet when I read the Bible, I understand that God doesn't do that. The Bible says that one day that people will stand before Jesus Christ at what we call the Great White Throne. And the Bible says that both the small and the great will stand before God. Now, the small and the great is not talking about their physical status. It's talking about their influence. It's talking about political leaders. It's talking about senators and MPs and prime ministers and kings. And they'll stand before God. And also those with little influence will also stand before God. But the emphasis of the Bible is they'll all stand before God on equal ground. Both small and both great will stand before God. No categories, no different positional grounds that they stand on. The ground is level at the cross. All those who come to Jesus receive the same Holy Spirit, are given the same salvation, and they are all placed in the same family of God. That's a wonderful blessing to think about. We are a part of the family of God. It doesn't matter how much money this morning you have in your bank account. It doesn't matter how much influence that you have. It doesn't matter what country you were born in or what languages you speak. It doesn't matter how many letters are behind your name or how many degrees you have. God is not interested in all of those things. The Bible says that he accepts us. He is no respecter of persons, and we become a part of the family of God. And that's a wonderful blessing. We are the children today, if you're a Christian, and I hope that you are, we are the children of the Most High. And that is the greatest blessing that you could ever have in this life, is to know that God is your Heavenly Father. Now, there are times when we allow, don't miss this, there are times that we allow how we feel to impact what we believe is to be true. Think about that. There are times that we allow how we feel to determine what we believe is true. Oswald Chambers said this, "Beware of reasoning in your heart instead of listening to what God has said." Beware of reasoning in your heart instead of listening to what God has said. Look what the Bible says in verse number 3. It says of Isaiah 56 in our text. It says, neither let the son of the stranger that have joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord hath utterly separated me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths and choose the things that please me and take hold of my covenant, even unto them will I give in mine house and within my walls a place and a name better than the sons, better than of sons and of daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Unto the sons of the stranger that join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and taketh hold of my covenant. Now, oftentimes in our life, we believe based on how we feel, and because of that, we strongly believe that how we feel dictates the direction of our life. Because I believe these things, because I live this type of life, that God can't use me, or because this is who I am, God can't bless me. And oftentimes how we feel dictates how far and how we live our Christian life. Now notice our text here. The Bible says the strangers or the foreigners were saying that God has separated from them. Now, these are Gentiles that he's talking about that come to the Lord by faith. They believe in the living God. We read about this in the New Testament, in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. The book of Ephesians, written to Gentile people who believed that they were separated or not as near to God because they were not Jews. And Paul is writing to them, encouraging them that, no, you are in the family of God. And you enjoy the same blessing. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, the Bible says that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. And yet they had come to Jesus, they had come to God, they had approached the living God by faith, but still they felt separated from God. They were not a part of Israel. They felt like God wasn't near to them. They felt like God was not on their side. And so how they felt dictated the direction of their life. I don't know in your Christian life if you've ever felt that God was not near you. Maybe there were times in your life you felt that God didn't care about you. I think the devil whispers that in our ear often, that God doesn't love you or God doesn't care about you. Maybe there are times in your life you just felt like that God was allowing these troubles or these trials to come into your life, that why would God allow this? And maybe you've become discouraged. Maybe you felt far from God. And yet the Bible says in verse number 6, those that serve the Lord, those that come to God in faith. Look at the Bible says in verse 7, even them will I bring to my holy mountain. I love that, even them. We're all a part of the family of God. And even the strangers, even the foreigners, even the Gentiles that may have felt away from God or felt far from God, yet the Bible says, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. I hope that you're joyful this morning. I know there's lots of snow out there. I actually didn't shovel my driveway. I just hit the gas and backed her out. I'll deal with that when I get home, right? Maybe my neighbor will have mercy on me and he'll use a snowblower to blow it out. But the reality is, sometimes in life it's hard to be joyful. Sometimes the circumstances of our life, it's hard to find that joy. And yet the Bible says that they will find joy. They will find joy in the presence of God. They will find joy in the place of prayer. They will find joy as they seek the Lord. And the eunuchs here, the Bible says, even the eunuchs that are here, of course, they could have no children. They felt without purpose in society's eyes and the culture that children was so important. The Bible says, as a dry tree. And these were not eunuchs by choice. They were prisoners. prisoners. They were forced into this position in life. Remember, Judah were taken captive. They were prisoners. They were POWs. They were not in where they wanted to be. They didn't want to be prisoners, and yet they were forced into this position in life. And yet, what is God's message? God's message is don't say these things. Don't believe these things. Someone said this, unbelief many times suggests things to the discouragement of good people, which are directly contrary to what God himself has said. Things which he has expressively guarded against. In other words, when you become discouraged, you can think things that are not true. And here is a people that are captive. Here is a people who are discouraged. And they're saying, God is so far from us. God doesn't care about us. The eunuchs are saying, we have no more purpose in this life. We have no more use in this life. And yet God is saying, don't believe these things. Don't trust in these things. Paul said to cast down these imaginations in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5. An imagination is something that you believe is true, but is not true at all. And the Bible says, Paul said, cast down these imaginations. We cannot live our life based on how we feel. We must live our life based on truth. Now, I do want to remind you that feelings are God-given. And feelings are indeed expressions of the heart, but they are not an accurate compass in directing our life. Feelings make good servants, someone said, but they make terrible masters. And we cannot trust how we feel. We must use the word of God. We must use truth to direct our lives. Jonathan Edwards said, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, and therefore cannot be trusted without the word of God. You know, people say, well, I just don't feel saved, or I don't feel like God could use me, or I don't feel God is near. I don't feel that God loves me, or I don't feel. And I say to you, don't trust how you feel. Our feelings change all of the time. What does the Bible say? What does the Word of God say? John said, for if our heart condemn us, where do those feelings come from? They come from our heart. If our heart condemn us, how we feel, the Bible says God is greater than our heart, and he knoweth all things. All right, let me give you the last principle, number three, and I'll be done. The principle of discretion. The principle of discretion. Now, the picture, of course, is painted here in the last verses is a bleak picture of Judah. Those who were supposed to be watching did not. In fact, we notice their attributes. In verse number 9, God speaks of wild beasts that surround God's people. In verse 9, it says, all ye beasts of the field come to devour, yea, all ye beasts in the forest. The problem is these were not actual beasts. These were teachers. These were Judah's teachers. The ones that were supposed to be watching, the one that were supposed to be protecting the spiritual condition of Judah, the problem is they didn't care. They didn't care about the people. They didn't care about their souls. In fact, the Bible says they are blind. They are ignorant. They are dumb dogs that cannot bark. They are slumbering. The illustration here is they are lying down. They are sleeping. They are shepherds that cannot understand. They are only looking at their own gain and their own things. They don't care about the condition of people. They're only concerned about what they can gain from it. And that's sad. That's sad. You know, it's a scary world out there. And I want to remind you that it is truth that sets us free. And so we must discern. The principle here is that false teachers will come. But we must know what the truth is. We must know what the Bible is. Not based on how we feel. It is based on truth. You know, false teachers was the main subject in Paul's epistles. He constantly wrote about false teachers that are coming into the church. Peter wrote about them too. Peter was concerned about the church, that false teachers will come. And he wrote, having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls. I hope you're not an unstable soul, but the Bible says they come to exercise covetous practices. They're cursed children. This is their description. They don't care about people. They care about themselves. And a biblical pastor that follows God ought to watch for the souls of people. They ought to be concerned about what God says, and they ought to relay that message. This is what the Bible has to say. We notice not only their attributes, notice their attitude. In verse number 12, their attitude is, hey, let's live life to its fullest. Let's do our own thing. Let's go our own way. The Bible says in verse 12, come ye, they say thee, let I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundant. We notice the snowball effect of living for the flesh, living for themselves, not satisfying themselves by their own carnal desires. But the idea is that they would follow a sinful heart. Peter said it this way in 1 Peter 2, verse 1. He says, but these were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring unto themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of the truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words, empty words, make merchandise of you. In other words, you're not a sheep in the pasture of God. You're not a sheep that they are an under-shepherd to. You're a customer, and they're in charge. And they are making merchandise of you. And the Bible says, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. These false teachers were looking to make not disciples, they were looking to make customers. And the Bible says that many will follow their way to destruction. And so the principle that God gives Judah is discern. Know what the truth is. Know what the Bible has to say. I believe these three principles are so important in the Christian life. And I know that God wants us today not to follow our heart, but to follow truth. God wants us to step out wherever you are today. Don't wait until things are better. No, trust God today. Walk, step out by faith today. Trust Him today, and He will bless you for that obedience. And I say also, know the truth. Follow the truth. Discern. There are many false teachers in our world today, and we must know, what does God say? Because His opinion is what matters. Let's pray together.